Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The sermon for today will be from Isaiah 40. The original hearers of this message, which began at the beginning of chapter 40 with "Comfort, O comfort ye my people," says God, were in exile. The Israelites had spent years away from their homes and their temple. They were tired. They were weary, and they were having trouble imagining a new future for themselves. They were tired of the distance. They were tired of longing. And they were tired of not knowing if they'd ever get to go back. I wonder if we can relate to this. Can we imagine these feelings? Of course we can. We are in the midst of a pandemic and have many of these same longings ourselves. But unfortunately, the challenges that the Israelites experienced and endured in exile began to cause them to doubt God's attentiveness and to doubt God's power among them and for them. Sometimes, as we all know, when we are in the midst of challenges and struggles, we can forget God's story of attentiveness. We can forget God's story of dependability. We can forget God's story of love. And unfortunately for the Israelites, as they forgot these stories, they wrongly translated their weariness and exhaustion as disregard by God. Because they had forgotten God's history among them, they began to question God's presence. They felt despair amidst the chaos in which they were living. They were exhausted, weak, and even the youth had grown faint. Well, fast forward 2,500 years, and here we are in the midst of a pandemic. What at first we thought was going to be temporary, I remember thinking when the pandemic began that by Easter it would be all over. Well, here we are about to enter into Lent again, and we are still in the pandemic. It hasn't been temporary and feels more permanent. There are over 400,000 folks who have died in the U.S. because of the coronavirus. There are hundreds of thousands more who have had it, and hundreds of thousands more who have struggled, knowing that their parents, their children, their friends, their family have endured the coronavirus. I think we are a tired people, and we know what it is to be weary. This past year has been marked by this horrible virus, hard economic times for so many, many folks trying to figure out what it looks like to work from home while caring for children or parents or other responsibilities. Teachers and students have had to figure out how to learn remotely. We've all had to social distance from one another, and we've hunkered down at home a little bit more. And from so many of you, I've heard that you deeply, deeply miss gathering together for worship. You miss worship. I do too. We miss singing together. We miss praying together. I miss the cacophony of voices as we say the Apostles' Creed together. We miss connecting with one another, seeing people, seeing their whole faces. We miss the small talk that used to happen before worship and after and on the way to our cars. We miss hugging each other. I cannot wait to hug some of you all when we are able to do it again. Now, I want to be sure to say that all of these measures that we have taken to slow the spread of the virus are vitally important. And just because they have been hard and painful doesn't mean that we shouldn't have done them and doesn't mean that we shouldn't continue to do them. because these are ways that we love ourselves and our neighbors. But it has left us emotionally and mentally and physically zapped. I know so many of us are stressed and overwhelmed just with the ordinary things of life, because having a pandemic in the midst of it magnifies everything else. There were several times this week when I read different articles about something called pandemic fatigue. I don't know if you all have seen anything like this in the news or on social media, but pandemic fatigue is real, and so many of us are experiencing it. These times are so difficult and challenging that even youths grow weary and are faint. And then we add on some of these winter blues, where the days are shorter, there's less sunlight, the days are grayer, it's colder, so we can't spend as much time outside, and we can't really gather together outside with our loved ones. It's a really, really hard time. And like the Israelites in Isaiah, sometimes we can get caught up in the challenges and struggles of life and forget who God is and forget about God's story of dependability and forget about the story of God's attentiveness and the story of God's love. We know these things so clearly, but sometimes in the walk of faith and in life, our weariness and our exhaustion can prevent us from hearing God, or can cause us to misinterpret our circumstances as God truly being actively at work among us. This week, I felt this deeply, as there were several in our congregation who are struggling. So many of you want to go see Barbara Kepley and say goodbye to her in person, but are not able to because of the pandemic. So many of you were heartbroken that Jana was home by herself for a few days until we knew that she tested negative for COVID. So many of you are heartbroken that she can't go see Bobby and sit by his bedside. We felt in very real and deep ways some of the pain of having been separated from each other for so long this week. We felt hopeless, and we felt helpless and powerless. And so I think that it is no coincidence that this passage from Isaiah is our text for today, because Isaiah reminds us that the people of God have been crying out to God for centuries, lamenting to God, expressing anger, expressing heartache, wondering where God is at in the midst of all of this. For as long as humanity has existed, there have been circumstances that have led us to be weak and faint and exhausted. But none of this, none of us, are beyond the reach of God. This passage reminds us that God's ways are unsearchable, that God's great power is absolutely unfathomable and unimaginable. In God's majestic and almighty power, God created the heaven and the earth and all that exists. God powerfully brought order out of the chaos at creation, and God continues to bring hope and life out of despair and death. The God who created all that exists, the God who is stronger and more powerful than all the rulers, knows each star by name, knows each of us by name, knows the number of hairs on our head. The God who exists beyond all imagining knows us, loves us, and cares for us. Although we don't always see how God is at work, it doesn't mean that God isn't. We often and I am guilty of this too, we want God to remove our suffering. Even Jesus wanted this. When he was in the garden, he pleaded to God to take the cup away from him. God doesn't always remove or take away our suffering. Instead, in Christ, God chooses to enter into suffering with us. In Christ, God left all the majesty and glory that is rightly due to God. God emptied God's self and became a human. And in Christ, God is one with us and for us. In Christ, God entered into the brokenness of humanity. Jesus knew pain and heartbreak and suffering beyond imagination. And it is also in Christ, through the waters of baptism, that God names us and claims us as God's own. Beloved, I know we are weary and fatigued and exhausted, mentally and emotionally depleted. But our everlasting God does not grow weary. God does not get tired. God does not sleep or slumber. And God gives strength to the powerless, strength to the weak, and power to the faint. What is asked of us is that we wait on the Lord. When we wait on the Lord, it is not idle waiting, and it is not waiting in vain. It is not wasted. Because when we wait in the Lord, we wait with confidence, knowing that God is with us and constantly surrounds us with God's love. Listen to these words again. Those who wait for the Lord shall have their strength renewed. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. An interesting thing about Hebrew poetry, of which this verse, this chapter is that when there are triplets, when there are three lines of poetry together, they grow in emphasis from the first to the third. So for example, the last line is more important than the middle, and the middle is more important than the first line. But I don't like it when it comes to this poem, because I think that's a little counterintuitive. Because the last line is, they shall walk and not faint. And that's more important than they shall run and not be weary, which is more important than they shall mount up on wings like eagles. This is very counterintuitive, because I want to mount up on the wings like eagles. I want that to be the pinnacle of this poem. I want that to be the pinnacle of the life of faith. I don't want not walking without falling down to be the pinnacle. But I think the truth is that no matter how much we long to soar like eagles, sometimes all we can barely manage to do is put one foot in front of the other and keep doing it over and over and over again. And maybe this is the pinnacle. Maybe the best thing we can do right now is to be able to put one foot in front of the other as we walk in faith and in the strength of God, knowing that God accompanies us and enters into our weariness and exhaustion with us. Life is hard, and it's especially hard for so many right now in the pandemic. Like those in exile, we are tired of longing. We're tired of the distance. We're tired of the uncertainty of what lies ahead. But the good news is that God does not grow tired. God is not weary. And when we wait on God, God gives us strength and power. God names us and claims us as God's own. And we can confidently trust that God's love surrounds us always. And nothing, nothing can ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.